Talking today with Mike Schulte. Mike, of course, is Executive Director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Mike, let's talk a little bit about this 2010 crop. We've got generally, in other words, if you look at the weekly crop weather updates, they're showing it is in mostly good to excellent condition at this point. But I know that it's still a pretty variable crop, you know, this year, as it always is at this time of the season.
Things do, at this point in time, look to be very favorable throughout the state. One of the things that we do have a little bit of concern about is some of that later wheat that was planted after that October 15th date and into November, which we had a lot of that because we had a lot of rains that hindered producers from getting an earlier start on some of their last plantings in the field last fall. That later wheat didn't have a chance to tiller. It turned off cold real soon. And because we've had above adequate moisture in most parts of the state this year, it really has not had a chance to stress or root down. And so we do have some concerns that those root systems are very shallow in parts of the southwest and central part of Oklahoma on those later planting wheats. And we do think that we are going to probably see less bushels coming out of those areas. But, you know, looking at the state general, overall, things do look to be pretty favorable. There is an area by Cherokee and Alva that they just really haven't received any moisture at all this year. And as of last night from the Mesnet readings, it showed that they didn't receive any moisture up there, and the Panhandle didn't receive any moisture last night as well. There's some areas up there where they would welcome the moisture right now at this point in time.
Right. Now, you know, you mentioned that that October planting period that we kind of got knocked out of in a lot of locations. That I would think would be fairly critical in that that is the recommendation for when you plant for grain only.
It is the recommendation for when you plant for grain only. However, you know, we just had a different year as far as temperatures at this time. We really went into a harsh winter situation right after the plantings got there. So the plant just really never had a chance to catch up. It never had a chance to really tiller. And at that point in time, it's just 2 to 3 weeks behind schedule. I think if we do have the moisture and we do have the right type of temperatures on into a harvest in the ripening stage, I do think that there is a great chance that we will see hopefully a good harvest. But some of the concerns are that if it does turn off hot and dry too quickly, that it is going to lessen the amount of bushels that are taken off in those areas. Just some of the concerns we have. And, you know, I think probably a lot of times in my position, I choose to be a little cautiously optimistic. You know, things to me look good right now, but we still have 2 months out there in the field. And as we know in Oklahoma, anything can happen between now and the time that the wheat is in the bin.
Of course, now, a year ago, we were having a lot of problems coming out of winter, and then we got hit by two very late freezes. And by this point a year ago, we were talking already by that point a half a crop.
Half a crop already at that point in time because we just had no moisture from the time of planting. A lot of producers dusted their crop in last year until the time of those April dates. And by the time we received the moisture, it was too late, and that late freeze was just too harsh. You look at the Mesnet maps, it's just a completely different story as far as precipitation throughout the state. It's just like we've kind of just switched positions, completely two different years.
Let's talk about some of the other things going on in the wheat business right now. I know that Oklahoma Wheat Growers, Oklahoma Wheat Commission had a chance to sit down at Ag Day with some Monsanto officials and start some dialogue about what Monsanto's doing with their acquisition of Westbred, what that could mean for wheat breeding efforts for some sort of genetically modified wheat a decade from now, whenever it may be. I know that you've had some additional dialogue, you told me, at OSU since that time. What's the mood? What have you taken away from these conversations thus far?
Well, you know, looking from a quality standpoint and what we're wanting to offer into the world market, there are probably some things that Monsanto would be able to offer us with traits that would help us on our quality with either, you know, drought-tolerant genes or nitrogen-efficient genes. But as far as anything that's going to be released biotech, if an agreement is made, and we are so far from any agreement being made that if an agreement would be made, we would be a decade out before we'd even see biotech wheat entering the market. But producers right now at this time in the meetings with Monsanto and in meetings that we've been having, you know, they're really concerned. They want to make sure that the export market is ready for biotech wheat. Japan and Europe, Japan especially, those Asian countries are our largest export market. And so in looking at that, we want to make sure that they're ready and willing to purchase anything that's placed on the market from a biotech standpoint of view. And then I think there are some concerns out there for the producers. Oklahoma is a grazing grain state, as well as Texas. And things are a little bit different, I think, in the southern regions of the United States compared to up north, where they generally plant and they want to increase yield. Here there are many factors a lot of times that producers have to use to determine what they're going to do, whether they're going to graze out or whether they're going to cut for harvest. And, you know, price always reflects what a producer is going to do, too. I think that producers do have some concerns about being able to store their own and save their own seed. And so the message that's really been sent to OSU and from the growers to Monsanto at these meetings is that we want to have the right to save seeds, and we want to make sure that if any agreement is struck, that we want to ensure that the public breeding program does stay there.
Now, you know, as we think about the need for that public breeding program, the land grants that we've got, Texas A&M, we've got Oklahoma State with Dr. Carver, we've got Kansas State University with a well-renowned breeding program. Colorado's had some great success as well. All these, the folks, these are all public dollars, and we're starting to see some of the some almost not quite user fees or technology type fees going back to these land grants now to help pay for some of these programs as well. How does that impact, you know, what will be the relationship? How will the interaction be with Monsanto with these land grants?
Well, you know, we want to make sure Monsanto's really looking at germplasm. That's what they're wanting. That's what they were wanting with Westbred. And that's the one thing that we've been working on at the land grant system that has been able to make the public breeding program so strong and successful has been the flow of germplasm, because it has always been exchanged between all the land grant universities. If there's specific traits or strains that might be useful in a wheat that they're releasing from OSU, and KSU has, Kansas State does have that, that's always been able to be made available to OSU, and so that germplasm has been able to be exchanged. That is one thing that we want to make sure that we maintain. One of the things that I think producers have some concern about is that those agreements, you know, we want to make sure that if we exchange germplasm with Monsanto, that we have the right to get their germplasm in exchange too. That's been talked upon heavily. And I think from a producer standpoint, in this part of the world, we want to be able to release our varieties through Oklahoma State University, and if we have a good variety, then be able to sell Monsanto the variety. That's what was brought up at one of the meetings at OSU last week, and I think when you look at it from a producer standpoint, that's kind of what they're pushing right now.
When you say earlier you talked about the possibility of some sort of a general agreement with Monsanto between the wheat industry and the company, is I guess part and parcel of that would be some of these details on how germplasm, how a variety might be handled.
That is correct. And also, you know, Monsanto's not the only company out there right now. You know, there's Bayer, there's AgriPro with Syngenta, Lima Grain. All of these companies are probably going to be looking at their options and, you know, maybe trying to release biotech wheats. We realize that Monsanto probably will not be the only offer on the table. You know, this is something that they have done in the corn and soybean industry. And that's the one thing that the wheat producer is also being very cautious about. We have been sending the message to Monsanto that we do not want the same business model that corn and soybean has. And it goes back to just being able to save their own seed. I think producers are really trying to hit that message home.